to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he turns and addresses the people who just came and got that rest and says, now there's something else. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. What it amounts to is this. There are two rests. There's the rest that God to which God invites the unsaved, and then there is the rest to which God invites the rested. Rest for the rested. We talk about rest for the weary. Rest for the weary. But God says, come, ye weary, find rest. But come, ye rested, and find rest. Now, the entire Bible is written about these two rests. Everything in the Bible, every word in the Bible is written either to offer rest to the unsaved or rest to the saved. Most of the Bible, 90% of the Bible, is not written to the unsaved. 90% of this book is written not to invite the unconverted to rest from being heavy laden and weary. 90% of the Bible is written to God's people, inviting God's people to find rest, even though they have already found rest. Now this morning, I think you'll learn something. I want to invite you to share with me the two rests offered in the Word of God. In the first place, there is the first rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now this is the rest of salvation. This is the way you get saved. Now I want you to notice just briefly the four things about this rest. In the first place, the way. Come unto me. That's it. Come unto me. Now to come means to leave one thing and advance to another. Brother Fisk, would you come unto me this morning? Now notice, he left his seat. He left where he was. And he left one place and advanced toward another. Thank you, sir. Now then, Jesus says, come unto me. That means you leave your sins. That doesn't mean that you're perfect and never sin again. It means you leave the old life. It means you leave the old way. You leave the old path and you come to Christ. Now that's salvation. You can add anything you want to add to it. Add good works, but you don't need to. Add church membership, but you don't need to. The simple way to salvation is to come unto Christ. Didn't say come unto the church. Didn't say come unto good works. Didn't say come to the communion table. It did not say come to the baptistry. It said come unto me. Now in that simple three-word statement, ladies and gentlemen, that imperative, you find exactly what it means to get saved. You, a sinner, come to Jesus, the Savior, and you go to heaven when you die. You say, brother, how'd you make it so easy? I didn't make it at all. God made it easy. I just tell you how God made it. Come unto me this morning. If you don't know you're going to heaven, come unto Jesus. This morning, if you're not sure you're saved, come unto Jesus. Salvation is not in a church. It's not in a glass of juice. It's not in a baptistry of water. It is not in a good deed. Salvation is in a person. And a person is saved if he comes to Jesus. He's not saved if he does not come to Jesus. But here's something I think also of interest. It says, notice the scope of it. It says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I like that. All the rich come to Jesus. All the poor come to Jesus. All the learned come to Jesus. All the illiterate come to Jesus. All the important come to Jesus. All the unimportant come to Jesus. All the kings come to Jesus. All the slaves come to Jesus. Doesn't matter how young or how old, how rich or how poor. Doesn't matter how rich you are, you've got to come the same way the poor man comes. Doesn't matter how poor you are, you can come the same way the rich man comes. Doesn't matter how many degrees you have, you've got to come the same way the ignorant man comes. It doesn't matter how ignorant you are, you can come the same way the educated come. Doesn't matter how mighty you are, you've got to come the same way the weak come. It doesn't matter how weak you are, you may come the same way the mighty come. Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. But it goes a step further. It tells that it's a gift, and I will give you rest. Now notice this. The rest for the unsaved is a gift. The rest for the saved, he says, learn of me, and ye shall find rest. Now, in verse 28 it says, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But after you get the gift of God, then you shall find rest
You've got to work for the second rest. The first one's free. The second one's earned. The first is a gift. The second one's found. The first one you take. The second one you've got to learn. Let me illustrate. Let's suppose that Brother Beebe came to me this morning and said, "Pastor, I've got something for you. It's a treasure chest full of precious jewels. And I want you to have it. It's my grandmother gave it to me, and it's thousands and thousands of dollars worth of precious jewels. It's a treasure chest. I'm sure you'd do that if you had one. You selfish bum, you." But anyway, he said, "I want. Now, what do I do to get it?" I just take it. The chest full of jewels, it's all mine. I take it, it's a gift. That's what salvation is. God says, "I've got a treasure chest for you. It's full of wonderful things. It's full of joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's full of many wonderful, precious treasures. It's yours." And I say, "But Lord, something so wonderful, could you give it to me? It's hard to believe. I think I ought to work to get it." "Well," he said, "you could never pay for it if you work to get it. I'll give it to you." And so I take it. The chest is mine. The jewels are mine. But if I enjoy the jewels, I've got to open the chest. They're mine when I receive the chest. But if I enjoy them, and if I explore their beauty, I've got to open the chest, dig out the jewels, keep the jewels shine. They're mine. Salvation's that way. You get saved by faith in Christ. You get saved by coming unto Jesus. "Come unto me," he said, "and I will give you rest." And in the moment a person comes to Christ, he receives a precious chest of jewels. And then the Lord says, "Now you've got to dig it out yourself. Now they're yours, but if you enjoy them, you're going to have to open the chest. And you have to keep them shine and discover all the jewels." I got saved one day as a little boy when I came to Christ. And now for these 34 years, I've been exploring what God did for me. I've been opening every day a new part of the chest and pulling out a new drawer and finding a new precious jewel. And I've been trying to explain and understand the glories of the salvation that God gave me in a moment when I said yes to Christ for these over 34 years now. And that's the way salvation is. You come, you get rest. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's not a loan. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You say, "Brother Howells, I just don't feel like I deserve to become a Christian." Well, you're just about to get saved. Because you don't get it because you deserve it. You don't get it because you earn it. You don't get it because you're a good person. You don't get it because you join the church. You don't get it because you turn over a new leaf. You don't get it because you quit drinking. You don't get it because you quit smoking. You get it because you come to Jesus. But there's something else. And notice the time involved here. He says, present tense, "come unto me." Not tomorrow. By the way, the word Brother Fisk here doesn't mean just come. It's a strong present tense. What it really means in the Greek is hurry now. Hurry now. He didn't say, "Come to me. Come today if you want to. Or come tomorrow. It doesn't matter. Just come when you get." No, that's not what it says. He says, "Hurry now to me. Do it today. Not tomorrow. Not later. Not when you get old. Do it now. Hurry now. Come now. Come quickly. Get here now to me," he said. "And I will give you rest." But now, wait a minute. He doesn't stop there. Here's the strangest scripture. Listen to this. Now, here's a fellow. He came to Christ. He got rest. Brother Fisk, let me use you again. "Come unto me, all you that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now you're saved, right? And do you have rest?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you do. Have rest. And your burden is lifted, right?
Yes, sir.
Now then, as the Lord turns to you as a new Christian, he says something else to you. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul." Well, Brother Fisk said, "Wait a minute, Lord. I just got rid of a burden, and now you ask me to take another one. I just laid down my yoke, and now you want me to have another yoke. I can't understand that. I got saved and got rest by taking the burden off." But the first thing he says after I got rest is, "Take my yoke upon you." Thank you. Now, what in the world did the Lord mean by that? He says to a person who just got saved, "Take my yoke upon you." I just laid down a yoke. I just lost my burden. I just rested from my labors. Now listen carefully. Here's a little stream that flows down a mountainside. That little stream goes through a little factory town and is used to turn and provide the power for that factory. And as that little stream goes down that little factory town, beautiful stream coming off the mountainside, goes down that little factory town, its water becomes blue and black and dirty and contaminated. The little stream comes to God and says, "God, I wasn't made for this. I've been going down, my path goes down to that little factory, and I'm getting blue and black, and my water's getting dirty. Could you do something about it and not let me have to get my water dirty? And the dear Lord says to the little stream, "Why, of course I can help you. I'll just dam you up, and I'll block you up." And so the Lord makes it so that little stream never goes to that factory again. Its waters never get black and blue from providing energy for that to the factory in that little town. But the stream finds that that doesn't give the answer either. For soon its waters become stagnant. And soon the water that no longer is contaminated in one way becomes contaminated in another way. The little stream comes back to God and says, "Dear God, I'm still not happy. Could you do something about my water? I wasn't made for this." And the Lord says, "Okay, I'll reroute you and let you go down to water as irrigation, to water some little farm or something down in the valley." And that little stream now has another burden. He lost its first yoke. Its yoke was heavy. But it's not getting away from a yoke. It's getting away from the first yoke. Let me see if I can explain it a little better. Back yonder several years ago, remember the snowstorm we had? 27 inches of snow? Could we ever forget it? We had 500 in Sunday school that day, and worse than that, just $1,200 offering. But anyway, I'll never forget it. What happened? I went home one day, and I said, "I am so tired, I just wish I could do nothing but rest for a while." You know, I went up to David's room, locked the door, and got in his room, and went to sleep. While I was asleep, it began snowing. That's my trouble. When I go to sleep, the whole world goes to pot. So I went, and it started snowing. When I woke up, snow was everywhere, and the wind was blowing. Did you know for 3 days I stayed inside that place? I never got so rested in my life. After about a few hours rest, I wanted to get out. I had laid down my yoke, but I wanted another yoke. I wanted to work. I mean, I didn't mean rest forever. But I said, "Lord, could I rest for a few days?" And the Lord made the whole county rest with me when I did. When I rest, the whole world rests. But anyway, everybody rested. But I'll tell you what, I paced the floor. I'm sorry, there's somebody to move up there on the chess game. I paced the floor. I wanted to get out. I even shoveled snow. That's how serious it got. I even shoveled snow. Right. I wanted to get out. I laid down my burden, but I want to take it back up again. And that's what the Lord is saying here. He's saying, "I didn't save you so you wouldn't have a burden. I saved you so you could change burdens." And he said, "My second, carrying the first burden is heavy. Laying aside the first burden gives you rest. But once you lay aside the first burden, accepting my burden gives you rest." Here's a lady. A young lady, and she works all day long at the office. All she does, she gets up in the morning, she goes down and she buys her some breakfast, scrambled eggs and bacon. She goes to the office and she sets at a typewriter and has a nice dress and hose and nice shoes and the hair's all done up. She's very pretty, and all she does is just type all day long. Or the boss says, there are bosses that aren't pastors, of course, and the boss says, "Would you take a letter, Miss Blue?" You old folks know what I'm talking about. Miss Blue buzzed me. But anyway, take a letter. That's all she does. And so she falls in love with the fella, and she gets married. So no longer does she type the typewriter. And you see her a few weeks later, and you say, "Hello there, Mary. I heard you got married." "Yeah, I got married." "Well, say, are you still working?" "Oh, no. Oh, no." You know what she's doing now? She's getting up at 6 o'clock. She's going down. She's fixing breakfast for two. She washes dishes. She scrubs the floors. She cleans the kitchen. She vacuums the floor. She washes. She irons. She's a fright all day long. She flops in bed about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, try to take a nap, and she's so worn out, she doesn't know what's going to happen. "Are you working now?" "No, not